You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak.
Well, you've got Linda Cloak today. So welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday and I'm on the show today. And my guests here today are Samantha Spillett and from KPM Accountancy. And you've got it's not really a new project, is it?
It is for me.
Oh, it is a new project. Yeah. Okay, so a new project. And then we've also got... is that right? That's better. That's better, Sam. And then we've also got here Adrian, and he looks really nervous. Adrian Kingsley Johnson. You've got your logo T-shirt on, same as me.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So, welcome to the show. And as I say, it's just a general chat. We just sort of talk and just have a general chat about everything, all right? But, I mean, it's all going to be about numbers today, isn't it? So, I've chosen a couple of songs, and Money's Too Tight to Mention is one of them that I thought would be a pretty good one for you, especially.
Very good.
And then the other one I've got is, I can't remember, it's in there somewhere.
I Walk the Line.
Nice. Yes. So I thought they were two very appropriate songs for our guests today. So, Adrian, you've been with Nikki now for 2 years, Confident Cash Flow. And what made you choose Confident Cash Flow as a business to work with?
Having been in... corporate credit control for over 30 years, I really wanted to try to work in the smaller sector where we could actually help UK businesses, one-man bands and such like, with their cash flow. And when Nikki put a message out around about 3 years ago, and we had a chat, we'd known each other for over 25 years through our previous work in insurance, there was an opportunity to just do a few hours for her, doing some sort of fractional credit control work, really. And following that, over those couple of years, it's expanded from just a few hours to now 2.5 days a week, a job which sits alongside my other corporate job.
Okay, so what sort of led you to want to do this, be in this industry? Because I see that you know, obviously your work history, you've always sort of been in finance roles, haven't you?
I suppose from the age of 18, I fell into sort of an insurance credit control job. They say a lot of people do fall into insurance. But I enjoyed it. I've always liked dealing with sort of the money side of things. And enjoyed the success that they brought by actually helping people, helping businesses to collect the money that's due from them.
Okay, and one of the main things you do is you help people with their cash flow, which I'm sure Sam does as well. You probably help people with their cash flow, don't you?
Yes.
So I love doing cash flows. So I remember my husband many years ago starting a concrete manufacturing business, and we got so excited doing this cash flow because, you know, if you had one space or less in each post, for example, you made so much more money, and you needed 4 steel rods. But when we were going through and doing all these different things, it's how many spaces do we need? And then I just got so excited doing it. But it was amazing how you tweak it a little bit and it would completely change the whole journey of a company, won't it?
Sure, yeah. Businesses thrive on receiving the money at the end of the day, and so we try and look at the business and say, can we help with some good terms and conditions? Because when you engage with the client, you need to know when you're going to be paid. Sometimes that'll be up front, sometimes that'll be 50% up front, or there may be terms, say 28 or 30 days. But unless you have that foundation in place and then a process to chase, then everything else becomes a lot more difficult. So that's the first port of call, really, getting some terms and conditions together.
So one of the things that, again, I've done in the past with businesses that I've been involved with is I've done where they actually pay part of the invoice for you. And so they advance the money to you. What's that called?
Invoice...
where they
factoring,
that's yeah. it, yeah. yeah. So they factor, you factor the money,
yeah.
and you lose a percentage of it, don't you?
That's right.
Now, that must badly affect the bottom line, obviously.
Of course, yes.
For a lot of people. So it's important to get that cash flow right from the start.
Yeah.
And also, you were saying about terms and conditions. So what would you do? Would you look at people's terms and conditions and rewrite them so that they're...
Yes, we can review existing ones. We can write them from scratch. We can review and rewrite them. It very much depends on the industry. And after we've spoken to them and had a review on how they trade, we can recommend how best to engage with the customer in respect of credit terms.
Mm. So with terms and conditions, is it really long and is it easy to understand? Or because that's one of the things...
I wouldn't necessarily say long, but it just needs to be complete. It just has to be so that a process can be followed. You need to know that you get your invoice, there's a due date, there's then perhaps a period whereby if you don't pay, then there's a reminder and perhaps a penalty. So it's all about sort of the client understanding how the process actually works.
And a little penalty, it doesn't need to be a big penalty, does it? A little
no.
penalty can make a big difference.
Sometimes the penalty is there so that it keeps the lines of communication open between the client and the customer, and yes. vice versa.
Yeah. So this is Adrian from Confident Cashflow we're speaking to. Sam, do you do terms and conditions for businesses?
Not for the businesses ourselves. We have them. We have our terms and conditions, but no.
Right. Okay. So would you turn to someone like Adrian if you had a client who needed that?
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's a specialist area.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's good, isn't
that's
it?
Good.
So you do find lots of people... I mean, you know, I've started up quite a few businesses and I go in, I think, oh, I'm just going to get that from here. But it's really difficult to just go on. You're definitely better off having it all professionally written to the services you provide, aren't you?
That's right. It's best to have it tailored. Mm. Right, you can't just pick something up off the internet and cobble it together because you need to understand. You get it written in a way that you understand, that your customers understand.
Mm.
And it is very relevant to the business that you run.
Yes, okay. So going back to cash flow, I find it exciting. Do you two find it exciting as well?
Yeah,
yes.
definitely.
Yeah.
My favourite thing.
Is it
cash
really
cash flow
yours?
Forecast, yeah.
If I had time to just do that, I would just do that. But I don't seem to ever have time to sit and do it. But I absolutely find it so exciting. It's just like, right, I just two more members and then this, or four more members and then this, or if we open another group, then it would be this. And it just all... Yeah, it's so exciting. I really enjoy it. So what's your favourite thing, Adrian, about what you do?
I like the wins, obviously, when a client pays, but also like the doing the monthly reporting, looking at the figures for each of the clients. We've got around about 20 clients. I go and do all the age debt reports, and I can see month on month how we've improved. So we can see the day sales outstanding. So how... overdue the balances versus their sales. It's a good marker to, regardless of the industry, to actually show how outstanding they are from when they start with us and as the months go on.
Mm.
Sometimes it uncovers queries as well as part of the process. So we have to bear that in mind when we're looking at the figures, because sometimes they can stick in the age debt as a number that we can't collect until they're resolved.
Oh.
But generally, yeah, it's the win. I mean, speaking to people who genuinely perhaps have forgotten that they should have been paying the invoice. Because you know what it's like at home. You either pay something when it comes in, you deal with it, or you put it to the side. And it's when you get a reminder, you go, oh, I'd forgotten to do that. So I would say 99 times out of 100... the reaction is, oh, blimey, I've forgotten to do that. I do apologise, let me just pay that.
Mm, mm.
But if it's a business, sometimes it's, oh, right, thanks, you actually want to talk to me about it, I have a query, can you help that along? Of course, we can do that as well.
So tell me the process. So if it was, do you get startups and businesses that have been going a long time come to you? What's the ratio of startups to
Yes, we get a lot of small businesses where the business person perhaps wants to keep out selling or doing, depending on what the business is.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps in the background, there's someone who may just send the invoices, but maybe not have the confidence or the time to actually pick up the phone and contact the customers for payment. Or they're embarrassed to do that because sometimes mm-hmm. you can get very emotional about the money that's owed to you. So our standard offering is really to do with introducing ourselves as working and helping do credit control for that business. And as a third party, we see that that does bring a very good result because they'll actually engage with you once they understand where you're coming from. But we have seen some companies who would like us to be one of their employees, so use their email address and be like one of the team directly. So we'll use all their background information. Either way works, but I think that the external connection thing works better, in my opinion.
I can imagine that would work better, because when you're getting something from an external business, it would be more sort of, oh, why are they getting involved?
Yeah,
yeah. That's how I feel about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And what we find is you have to be very careful with data, because if data is not accurate, then you can fall over. With that initial contact by email, usually, because it's easier, mm-hmm. but sometimes that information gets out of date.
Mm.
So perhaps it's, depending on how our client wants to us to engage, we might soon after follow up the email with a phone call, because that might go into trash if it doesn't. These days, they don't seem to bounce back the emails like they used to.
No, they don't. Mm. So what size is a normal business that you would deal with? What sort of, you know, would it be a one-man band, or would it be like 20 or 50 staff?
So we've got some of each. The new customers we've just taken on in July, we have three new customers. One of them we're doing 10 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that has an outstanding ledger in the region of £3 million. But some of them we might do 2 hours for, and they might only issue a dozen or 20 invoices a month. So it's a real spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them we get the debt down, and then as a consequence of that, they might have us on less hours, just as an oversee, because they like what we've done, and they can see it churning. As they fall overdue, we automatically pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
But some disengage because they see that we've cleared the debt down and think that they can do it on their own.
And then they can't get you back again.
Well, maybe so, but hopefully, you know.
Yes.
Some business professionals have called us the fourth emergency service, because we're there to keep the business alive.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to touch on confidence. So, listeners, I'm speaking to Adrian Kingsley-Johnson of Confident Cashflow and Samantha Spillett of KPM Accounts Limited and Appointee Services Limited. So, confidence when you're chasing money is a real big thing, because you've done the work, you're confident in the work, but if you pick up the phone tentatively as though you haven't done the work, then it's it makes it harder for you, I suppose, and easier for the customer.
Very much so, yeah. We see some businesses who, like we had one at one point that was a electrical wholesaler, or doing electrical work for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they'd raise a quote, and then they'd send out an invoice for 50% of the quote.
Mm-hmm.
And the client would go, well, why have you sent, you haven't done any work for me yet? So, like, well, if you pay 50%, then we'll book your job in. Very clever, because they may have expenses themselves, either some kit or some staff they've got to hire out.
Mm.
There's expense with anything that you do, someone. So at least they were sort of covering some of the bases. So it was a very good idea that they had themselves as to how to start the process. But yeah, when you're chasing, you're thinking, how is that customer going to respond when I ask them for payment? But as I said earlier, it's often an embarrassment when an individual happens. With a business, sometimes it's finding the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the right person could be you might say the person who pays the bills, so someone in the purchase ledger team, but also there's the person who requested the work. So our solution to that would be, well, you should be sending a copy to both of them, because you want someone to sign it off and you want someone to pay it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sam, have you ever been involved in chasing money that's owed? Or
yes, definitely. I think a lot of business owners, they don't like picking the telephone up to chase money. And it's not really chasing money. It's money that they're owed. It's money they've worked for. So if they're confident in the job they've done and the customer's not highlighted any problems at all, then pick that phone up and ask for that money.
Mm.
Because most people will pay from a phone call.
Yes, yeah, I think they will as well. It's a bit like when I was a waitress when I was at college, and my auntie who trained me, she always used to say to me, if somebody's eating the meal, they can't then say it was no good. You know, if they start eating it and they don't eat it, then we wouldn't charge them, or we'd get them a replacement meal. It, you know, obviously it creates the issue where they're not eating with the people that they're sat with, because it has to come out afterwards. But we always used to say, do you want us to refresh everyone's meal? Because, you know, because we're ruining their night in a way. They all want to eat together. So that was what we did. I mean, the hotel's closed now. I don't know whether they do anything like that anymore. But, you know, we did have some people who would, they'd get over three quarters of the way through their meal. So they're full. Mm. And they send it back and say it wasn't any good. But they've eaten it. You know, so that was, it was really difficult for me as a young waitress to be able to deal with that situation.
Sure.
And it's very much the same, isn't it, when someone, I agree with the 50%, especially for a lot of trades, because for trades, you know, they've got to go out and buy the materials, cleaners, for example, they're going out and getting all the materials. This happened last time. Listeners, the lights have all gone off, and I was like, oh no, has everything gone off? Is that what you thought? You have to sort of sit and wave your arms in the air. So if you can imagine me waving my arms in the air while I'm talking to Sam and Adrian. I'm sure maybe it's because Terry's quite a bit taller than me, so it doesn't happen to him. But because I'm little, yeah, the system must, she's not there. Okay, that throws me every time. So tell me about the journey that they go through. So do they come to you first and say, we're struggling with our cash, or would they come to you and say, we want to take you on because we're starting out and we don't want this issue?
Generally, they engage with us because they either have a debt issue,
mm-hmm.
and they see overdue invoices being higher than they perhaps should be,
mm-hmm.
Or they find us through the terms and conditions route, and once the terms and conditions are written, they may seek further help with the credit control side.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the two main routes. But sometimes we do get referrals, and we find that one of the biggest areas where we have referrals is accountants, mainly because they see other people's accounts.
Yes, yeah.
And we're trying to roll out some more information on that through to the accountancy businesses where partners and stakeholders could maybe have it as a extra service that their customer could engage with us to help them with their debt, really, and their overdue invoices.
We're seeing a lot of that happen in Synergy, where people are starting to really work together. So this morning I saw a post by Lindsay Moore, she's HR, talking about Kathy Hayman's, you know, Better Business, and because they really go hand in hand, and you know, it's an extra tool that HR people can use. So these extra things, it's because you don't want to have another department in an accountancy company saying, well, we can, you know, sort out your cash flow for you, or we can write your terms and conditions. We might want to, some people might want to, but it's another department, isn't it?
Sure.
Really. So
sure, yeah, small businesses can't afford a full-time credit controller, so hence the idea of a fractional service where they're only paying for a couple of hours a month is perhaps a solution, or a solution worth trying, to see if those invoices can be collected on time. I did get a challenge in a networking a few months ago where someone said, so suggesting that you'll help collect the invoices, but also try and educate the customers to paying on time in the future. How do you do that? And I thought, well, they'd have signed terms and conditions. They need to understand. But I did wonder, you know, what are you as the business, you know, that's the question about what are you as the business doing about that? Because it's only about reiterating your terms. And do you find it acceptable that they are paying late? If you do, fine. Maybe you want to amend your terms. Maybe you're happy that they're paying late. But the challenge is there for that very reason, really, to see how you can be paid on time.
Something we had, again, with one of my husband's businesses was we ran a fencing business. It was in the 80s. It actually went bust. But the reason was because we were working with really big companies and they said their payment terms were 90 days. And we were like, you know, we had two teams of fencers going out and it was, you know, we had to pay their wages. Yeah. And we were on big, you know, big estates. We were doing rows and rows of close ball fencing. And, you know, the materials we had to use were loads of materials. And they refused to pay the 50% up front. And then it was like, oh, you know, we're going for a tough time. And I felt like going up and sitting. I can be a bit tenacious at times. I felt like going up and just sitting on their, you know, doorstep and saying, you know, just pay us. You've got all these big fancy offices, but it makes you wonder how many other people they were doing that to. You know, and I was on top of chasing the debt. I was bang on it. When it was due. And we did, you know, look at how long whether we could actually go into working for these big companies because, you know, I know a lot of the fencers said, well, we're not going to go in and work for them because we can't afford to go and work for them. They cut you down with the money, so you're getting less per meter.
Yeah.
But not only are you getting less per meter, you're also getting, you know, you've got to wait longer for your money, so it's not worth as much when you get it as if you got it in 30 days sort of thing.
For sure, I think businesses these days realise that they may get the quantity of business, but with the extended terms that are sort of imposed on the businesses, they have to amend their model to perhaps do some smaller jobs as well that bring in a regular income around the big jobs.
Yes, I know with Elle and I, when we were running the social media business, we wanted the big companies. We did work for some big companies, but again, their terms were 60 days. So if we didn't have the smaller businesses bringing in that regular income,
yeah.
You know, I mean, when it was time for them to pay, it was whoopee. And once they'd paid their first invoice, then it sort of was all right because it was every month. But it's that first one, when you're waiting for that first one to come in, that's when it's
sure.
It's really hard. Yeah. So, I mean, how would you help people grow in a way where they want to be working with bigger businesses? Do you think that's down to the terms and conditions?
I think it's a business decision as to whether you want the bulk. You've got to factor in the fact that you're going to be paid later.
Mm.
You know, you've got to have more backing in your business for that. The reason I said about the small business is because I know there's some people that came and did some work for us. They engage with councils and things like that, but they also do private work because they see that as a quick turnover, a smaller job, which they can do in a few days, and keeps their staff being paid. And that way they're mixing up payment immediately with longer terms and can fill the gaps, if you like.
And they're still being able to work for the bigger businesses. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, historically, I should imagine, I don't know, schools and councils, I was going to say, take longer to pay.
Schools, councils. But it's the same with supermarkets and shops and all those sorts of bigger industries. They do have longer terms.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're non-negotiable.
So, Sam, I'm going to ask you a question. This is how Adrian has described himself. It's like having a financial plumber helping unblock the payment cycle of your customers.
I like it. Nice.
I like it. It's really good, isn't it?
It's true.
Who came up with that? Was that Nikki or you?
I think I cribbed it from someone else, to be honest, because it's just so right. You know, like you are unblocking the system.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so brilliant. So it says that you also do credit control training. So what would that look like? It's for companies to go in-house and you...
That's right, yeah.
Okay,
so... Nikki Kinton, who owns the business, would run that. And she goes to businesses and does a sort of a learning cycle on how best to approach being a credit controller, really, and giving them tips on how to frame a call, how to set a process,
mm-hmm.
perhaps reminder letters, letters generically, but you know, your reminder process as to how you unemotionally make that step to chasing the debt without getting it in your head. Yeah. That we get too, you know, too emotionally involved.
You hit the nail on the head there, because the emotions is what, when you're, you know, when you're self-employed and you've worked hard. And I remember for my son once, I had to ring someone and pretend I was his solicitor because this woman was just being so awkward.
Well, that's right.
So when I felt as a solicitor, it gave me a commanding, you know, I could have a more commanding voice, and it worked, you know, because she did pay. I don't know how I've got a solicitor's voice kind of tall. I'm not at all posh enough. But, you know, the fact that I just said I'm you know, my son's legal representation and, you know, you need to pay up. And yeah, I didn't actually say I was a solicitor. That would have been going too far. But, yeah, I said I'm his legal representation and you know, you need to pay within the next 3 days or there'll be a fine of this amount. And,
well, that's it. And going back to the terms and conditions where there's perhaps some fines at various milestones as it goes overdue, sometimes the threat of that is enough to keep the engagement with the customer as to how they're going to pay. Remember that we're talking credit control at this point. We're only saying the customer is live with you. You want to be paid. You might want to continue the relationship as well.
Mm.
Your choice whether you do it. Once it's dead, if it gets to that stage and you're not going to do any more work from, that's when then you might want to go down the more debt collection route. But keeping the avenues open and promoting two-way dialogue is very important, because that's how your best opportunity of getting paid.
But if they go down the debt collection route, then you're talking more money for the business, aren't you?
That's right.
So, you know, they're better off having someone like you on board to have that regular, you know, training the customer, like you said, to pay properly. Mm-hmm. And then it's not so much. Yeah, I can see here that she also provides cash flow advice and outsourced, you know, obviously, credit control support. So I think that training is really good. So presumably people can travel to Swindon if they wanted to have.
I think if there's enough demand and request of this, the teams of a size, then she could lay it on in the company, on the company premises, or for Chamber of Trade or similar sort of organisations, then on a fee basis, if there's enough people on a fee basis. So a neutral venue.
You, your role, I know you obviously is the person who goes out and networks. You're on the radio show today.
Yeah.
And the aim really is to get accountants listening and you know, get you in to more accountants so that you can be their sort of, what did you call yourself? Rottweiler?
That's one of the words that is used that's, yeah. So, couldn't be further from the truth, really. I mean, Nikki has already been out and spoken and presented to a couple of accountants. She's got quite a few more coming up in the coming months in and around the Swindon area where she lives. But it's something that can be rolled out to any accountancy practice, really, because it could be done over Teams or other similar online versions. But it's just a routine to help a large number of businesses, really.
Okay. So before, I'll just remind customers again that we're talking to Adrian Kingsley-Johnson of Confident Cashflow and Samantha Spillett of KPM Accounts Limited and Appointee Services Limited. So I want to talk to you, finally, really, Adrian, about the myths of credit control. And I can imagine some of these you've said, you know, I can't ring them. They're a really good customer. One.
Yeah.
It's only a day late. Mm-hmm. They're a big company. Are these the sort of things you hear? I don't want to damage my relationship with the customer.
Of course. Yeah. They're all reasons not to chase.
Yeah.
Or, last time I spoke to them, they weren't very nice. You know, like, the whole thing is that there's a due date. And if you think in your personal life how you get a visa bill or you get a bank loan where you have to pay by a date, I don't think the bank are going to put up with, oh, well, sorry, I know it's due on a Wednesday, but I'm not going to pay you till the following Saturday.
Mm.
Now, there are deadlines for reasons, and interest is due. And whether it's an individual or a business paying, there seems to be a within the world an allowance that if it's due in that week, then it's paid on that Friday if they only do one a payment run every week. But some businesses only do one per month. So if it goes overdue, they might say, I will pay it at the end of the next month. Well, we have to try and push back on that as a country and say, well, really, you know, do your staff want to be paid a month later? You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Where do you draw the line on how late you pay people if that is the reason for trading with them, or as you say, we might be able to get the payment, but do you want to trade with them again at those rates at the late credit term basis?
So who wrote this about credit control myths? Was that Nikki or yourself? Or
I think it was Nikki probably.
So this can be read on your LinkedIn page, presumably your company page. So your LinkedIn page is Confident Cash Flow.
That's right.
And how would people get hold of you if they wanted to speak to you, Adrian?
They can either find me on LinkedIn, Adrian Kingsley Johnson, Confident Cash Flow, or my email address, adrian@confidentcashflow.com, or meet me at the Synergy meeting in Maidstone.
Yay. Absolutely.
Or you can engage through the website, and certainly the owner, Nikki Kinton, myself, and Rebecca Rhodes, who's now working for us on a part-time basis, in the same way as I started, because we've grown to 3 members of staff now. So
fantastic. That's really exciting, isn't it? So you're growing as well.
Yeah, that's right. I've increased from just a casual few hours helping to 2.5 days a week alongside my corporate credit control job.
So, and what days are you working? Because I know you obviously come to Synergy on the third Monday.
Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday and Thursday.
Right, okay. So I don't know if you noticed, but on a lot of the social media posts, I do get you in the video that I do. And I say, here's Adrian of Confident Cash Flow.
Hopefully the pink, does stand out.
It does stand out, absolutely. Okay, we will be coming back to you.
Okay, thank you.
So, listeners, as I say, we are listening to Samantha Spillett. And Samantha is the founder and director of KPM Accounts Limited and Appointee Services Limited. And she's also a director of Disability Advice and Welfare Network. Because she's just not busy. She's just, you know, she's just got so much time on her hands, this woman, obviously. They say talk to a busy person. So we're just going to do a couple of adverts, and then we'll be back and we'll be talking to Sam. So listen in, keep listening.
Channel Radio. Great music and talk.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers? Security worries? Lost files? Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179-534-2362 now and get your IT sorted.
Okay, guys, so we're back now and we're going to have a little chat with Sam. And I was going to play Money's Too Tight to Mention, but I'll play that one in a minute because that is Adrian's song. So we'll play that one in a mosey. And the one that I'm playing actually is going to be by the Valentine Brothers, which Terry Jones was very pleased about because he thought I was going to play the Simply Red version. But, I automatically pick them, so that's an age thing. So let's quickly move on. So you are so busy, and you've also got here Dawn. Is that what this is, Dawn? Disability. Oh, of course it is. Yes.
Yeah.
So can I ask first how you got involved with that?
With Dawn?
Yes.
So one of my employees in Appointee Services actually set Dawn up, and they got to the point where they actually didn't want to run it anymore, so they asked us whether we would run it. So happily said yes.
So what does it actually do?
It provides services for people who need to access the welfare benefit system. So if they think that they haven't been treated fairly, if a claim's not gone through, they just need help and advice. So it's all around the welfare benefit system.
And the thing is that you get people that are, I mean, PIP is it's a fairly new thing, isn't it?
Within the last 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, I think it is fairly new. And, you know, it helps people with, you know, if they've got a child who maybe isn't going to school and has got maybe, you know, autism or ADHD, they haven't had it diagnosed. I mean, what's the process with PIP? I mean, do you have to have something serious wrong, or is it?
It has to be a registered condition.
Right.
Or a lifelong condition. So something that's affecting your day-to-day life.
Mm. Yes. Okay, and that's a lot. I mean, you know, there's a lot now of, you know, back in the day, it was never really an illness, but depression is a big illness now, isn't it?
Yes.
And all of those things, and that leads on to other things, doesn't it? Like diabetes through obesity and...
Yes, of course. It's the welfare benefit system is very, very hard to navigate. There's so many rules for each different type of benefits, so it's very hard to understand. So
and
we
I should
have
imagine,
trained advisors to help people do that.
And the forms must be an absolute nightmare, I should imagine. They are.
Yeah, definitely.
And once you've navigated 10, maybe, do you ever get the hang of it, or is it still difficult to get the hang of no matter how many you do? I just can't imagine.
We all have specific training in this area, and the training is very long and intense, so... it's no wonder people are finding it hard to navigate themselves.
Well, when I saw that you did that, I thought, wow, there's so many people out there that probably need that. They didn't even know this service was available.
No. They used to help and provide some of this service through the Citizens Advice Bureau, but their funds get, you know, cut every year, so they're not able to help anymore. So they actually signpost people to us.
That's fantastic. So what area does this cover?
Right across the country.
Wow, okay. And how far away have you helped someone?
I only took over this year, so it can be anywhere. There's no restrictions, because it's all handled by telephone call teams.
Ah, and of course, yeah, Teams or Zoom, or there's so much now, isn't there? Oh, right, okay, well. So one of the first things I saw after that on one of the posts is... Appointee Services is here to support you by taking on financial responsibilities for clients who lack capacity. Please explain that.
Okay, so Appointee Services helps vulnerable adults who are not able to manage their finances themselves. So that's their personal money. So that could be paying their bills, navigating money for shopping, absolutely anything.
Wow. So that's another. Is it a charity?
No. It's a. It's not set up as a charity.
Right. Okay. Because it sounds like it should be.
There's there's a lot of restrictions around working in the charity and registering as a charity. So no, it's not.
Okay. So so is that something that you're doing more of now, or where do you focus most of your time? Because this is three really key businesses that you're working on, and I know Appointee Services, you know, is fairly new as well, and, you know, it's something you've got a passion about, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so between KPM Accounts and Appointee Services, we have 25 members of staff, so I work strategically on the business, not so much in the business anymore. So I'm quite lucky I get to spend my time across all three.
Wow, that must be quite exciting.
It is.
And you must have some really good people in your teams.
I have amazing, and I shout out to them because they're all listening today. So they actually do an amazing job, all of them. So thank
you. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. They're listening. Yeah, well done, guys. Well done for listening in. That's 25 more listeners we have today. So one of the things that actually is probably relevant to Adrian as well is holding on to a client longer than you should have. So do you find with KPM Accounts that people do that?
I think all business owners could be guilty of that, yes. And not every client is the right fit for everybody. And I personally have myself, yes, I've held on for too long. Yeah, it's hard to let a client go. Mm. Really hard, but sometimes it's the best for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, going back to my husband's business, you know, I mean, that was really, it was really difficult, and we had no choice but to let them go, obviously, then, but that was, it was so, it would have been so hard to let them go, because it was such a big contract, and it kept them in, you know, you didn't, you weren't going from week to week, which was what we were doing before we had them. Mm. So tell me the types of businesses that you work with KPM.
Oh, right across the board, so from electricians to plumbers to care companies to social media companies to feedback companies to self-employed people, absolutely everybody.
So tell me the journey again. If someone came to you and said, right, I'm a new business. Let's start off with a new business, because we've got a lot of new businesses in Synergy. I can't believe the amount of new businesses you've got in Synergy. I think I've had something like 3 join in the last, you know, the new businesses. They've literally said, well, we're going to join, but we need to get some clients.
Of course.
So, you know, where would you start with a new business coming to you saying, I need an accountant? What are the things you think they need to put in place?
Every business is different, so it would depend on the product or the service that they're selling. Marketing has to come first, because without marketing, you don't have sales. And sometimes you find when people have sales, they stop marketing, and then it has a downturn effect, because then sales stop because you didn't market. So absolutely networking. My business has grown through networking. It actually doubled in the last couple of years purely through networking. So,
wow.
Yeah. Shout out to networking in the first instance.
So tell me, obviously I know you go to Ash, ABC.
Yeah.
And Ash has helped you in many ways, hasn't he?
Yes.
I've never been. I think I might have gone to Ashford years and years ago, but I've never been to one of Ash's meetings.
Have you not?
No, unbelievable. I don't know how come I've never been to one of his meetings. We had quite a long chat. I think he came to one of my events, actually, and we ended up having a really long chat. So that was great. But I know he runs a good event, and the reason I know is because people get excited about going. And that's really good. And they're like, see you tomorrow, which is really lovely, isn't it? Because there's that camaraderie, there's that community, isn't there? But he's been going a very long time, hasn't he?
Yes.
Any idea how long he's been going?
It's over 20 years, I think.
Yeah, very long time.
Yeah.
And I think we're just getting there now, Adrian, would you say, with Synergy? We're just starting to get to that.
Yes, certainly the numbers are... And the variety of businesses.
Mm.
Certainly getting there. I mean, this week with like 34 is, you know, a few months ago it was near the 20s, and so
yeah, it's growing.
You need number to get variety.
Well, I mean, I think the thing with us, and I don't know, but I mean, I would say Ashes are probably more stable, consistent, same people. Is that the case?
Yes, that is the case.
Yeah.
That's what I personally find works, is going to a networking meeting and knowing who's going to be in the room consistently.
Mm.
So if you need to talk to someone in computers, you know that the person's going to be there.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, because I actually had someone come to me and say, my team member has said that it's always the same people and they know each other so well they don't need to say anything to anyone. And I was stunned to hear that, and I thought, well, that's obviously someone who hasn't networked very much, because that is what it's all about.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I remember going to a meeting for years with only 18 people in the room, but the relationships and the support I got was phenomenal from those 18 people. And you might have a visitor come in, I don't know, once a month if we were lucky. It wasn't very often, really. Does Ash get many visitors come in, or...?
Yeah, there's always new people coming along,
yeah.
And that's really good because it adds into the mix. And I think they're always really surprised at how relaxed the environment is. But when we go around the room and do the thank yous, it is a lot. It's constant.
Mm.
There's always thank you for that referral, or thank you for that work, or just thank you for that tip, or helping me, or, you know, it's not all about, you know,
referrals, is it? It's about the relationships that you build.
It is. And just for you listeners, if you don't know Ash Lawrence, his nickname is Flip Flop.
Flip-flop psycho.
So it pretty much says about how casual his attitude is, which is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? So, so that's, you know, a little bit about networking. What other groups do you go to?
My office manager in KPM Accounts, Kelly, goes to the Hive Club.
Right, okay.
To come to Synergy.
Yes, yeah.
I've been to Pints and Prosecco.
You're going tomorrow?
Yes, I'm going tomorrow. The Long Game with Leanne.
Yeah.
That's a lovely environment whenever we go out. So, yeah, I love networking.
Yeah, and they're all different, aren't they?
Yes.
They all offer something different and have a different audience, don't they?
Yeah.
So is Leanne getting a bit of a community going now? Because I know she's younger than us, isn't she?
She has, yes. There is a consistency there as well when you go along.
Mm.
There's always new people, but there's always familiar faces, which is really lovely to see.
Yeah, it is. Well, I would say that we still get an awful lot of visitors to ours.
Mm.
And you've got a core group that's always there. Adrian's one of the core group. You've got people that you know you can rely on to be there. That's the main thing. You want to be able to rely on people, don't you?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, I mean, does Ash do lockouts?
No.
So we sort of went under the, you know, we had lots of members come to us and say, oh, accountants, funny enough, came and went, well, you're not doing lockouts, so we're not going to come. And I was like, oh, maybe we ought to do it. And then we had plumbers say it. And then we had some other trades say it. And I'm like, oh, God, maybe I better do it then. So I bowed under the pressure. Mm. And we have done it in some groups, but some of our most successful groups haven't got lockouts.
No, I have another two accountants firms that I refer work to, and they refer work to me. And we find not every customer is the right fit for everybody, so if it's not the right fit for us, then I'll happily pass a referral over.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? But there's not too many people do what you do, Adrian, is there?
There isn't, especially at the low bar of only 2 hours per month.
Mm.
We seem to be different from the market in that respect.
Mm, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to go over the journey again, so because we sort of stepped away. So a newbie comes to you. What would you go through things like, should they be sole trader, limited? Would you go through that sort of thing with them?
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's the first question before we get them registered anywhere, whether that's as a sole trader or as a limited company. What's their goals? What's the product? What are they charging? What profit do they think they're going to make? Because that will depend on what we recommend. So, yeah, there's lots of questions to answer, you know, to go through right at the very beginning.
And if they, say, haven't done any projections or cash flows?
Then we're happy to do that because we like doing that.
Yeah. I did, as I say, seriously think, but because I wasn't qualified, I didn't set it up. I'm one of those people. I trained as an accountant and left, I think, 3 months before my finals. Got a slap wrist from my uncle, as you can imagine. But, you know, it did, in that time that I was doing that, I really did enjoy doing that part of it. So what would be the next step once they start their business? Yeah, I suppose, again, it does depend on the business, because a retailer is going to be different to a manufacturer, is going to be different to...
Yeah. Every business is unique. Every business has, you know, different aspirations. Leadership's completely different. So it's that initial conversation right at the very beginning that is so important. You know, before you put in any systems or processes or anything.
Mm.
Very important.
And do you work with other types of business to help them get the systems and processes in place?
We're happy to work with anyone that is a good fit for the client. So a financial advisor, absolutely anybody.
Yeah, of course, because they're going to have quite a lot to do with people as well, aren't they? Mind you, I never knew about financial advisors until I was 50. I don't think. A bit late in life to be learning about them. But they haven't been around that long, have they? Have they been?
Never too late to learn anything.
No. So one thing I want to ask you is, when you said that you sort of step away and you're looking after the business strategically now, when you start a business, how difficult did you find it to step away?
I don't have a problem with delegating. I quite enjoy it.
Okay.
But
Some people do. Some people do have, and it's very difficult to hand everything over. Of course, that's your business, your reputation. That's everything. So I've not got there completely yet.
No.
I'm almost. Not completely.
So what things do you feel that you still need to keep a hold of?
The big decisions. So when a new employee needs to be engaged, or wage increases or price increases, you know, that sort of thing. Things that are going to have a huge impact on people.
Mm-hmm. So do you, with your regular customers, do you see them regularly? How often would you see a customer?
I'd say generally, for most of our customers, we work on a monthly basis with them.
Wow.
Yeah. So for us, accounting's not just about things that's happened. It's also about moving forward. So, you know, this is where you are now. This is your liability. Where do you want to go? What's your projection? You know, is your cash flow forecast working? So all of them thing, you know, need looking at regularly.
Okay. And management accounts?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So can you just explain to the people that are listening what management accounts are? Because I think, you know, a lot of smaller business owners may not understand the importance of keeping an eye on their finances on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I mean, we find generally that business owners look at their bank balance and they think that's the money that they've got in their business. And, you know, as we know, that's not always the case. We have liabilities to pay. We've got tax, we've got VAT, we've got maybe payroll coming up, or we've not paid PAYE. So it's having that understanding that the bank balance is not the actual profit that's left. So it's going through the clients on a regular basis, because the profit and loss and the balance sheet reports were not actually designed for business owners. They were designed for accountants. So although, you know, business owners use them, they don't, or they're not a true reflection until the end of years happen. So they're literally just a benchmark, really.
So how do you, you know, what about people who don't literally, because you've got quite a lot of trades, and, you know, with trades that I've worked with in the past, it's like, well, you know, you do that, I just don't understand it. But if they were on their own and couldn't turn to me, then would they be able to turn to you? And because, you know, some of the people that I've worked with, they look at a balance sheet and they're like, have absolutely no idea what any of it means.
Most people don't know what a balance sheet means, and they don't need to know. They just need to have someone to tell them, what are your liabilities? Where are you to this point? So say if you've got 10,000 sitting in your bank account, but 6 of that actually belongs to HMRC.
Oh, yeah.
That HMRC word. But it's, yeah, a lot of people are engaging with accountants on a yearly basis. But by the time the accounts go through and get signed off, say that's 6 months past year end, they then get a shock, because that's what you owe HMRC, but they don't have it.
Mm. That's a scary moment, isn't it? Yes, I've been there. So I'll just remind the listeners who we're speaking to. So we're speaking to Adrian Kingsley-Johnson of Confident Cashflow. And at the moment we're speaking, obviously, he's got a much deeper voice than Samantha. So we are at the moment speaking to Samantha Spillett of KPM Accounts. So what about, so we're talking about management accounts. So would you have a monthly meeting with them to go through that? Or would one of your team, if they see something and pick it up, would they come to you with it, or would they go to the line manager with it and then go to the customer?
We have all different services. So we have some clients that like a real more, you know, hand-on service where we'll talk to them on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. We have some where they just, you know, would like an email and reports on a monthly basis, but pop in, or, you know, telephone call quarterly. Every service is different. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on client needs.
Yeah, client needs and what. But some clients surely don't know what they need, Sam.
They don't. And right at the beginning, we'll go through, you know, what information do you need? What do you need to know? How much do you know, now? What software are you going on to? So maybe we could put a little bit of training in right at the very beginning that will help them, you know, up to the quarter period.
Mm.
So, yeah, every client's completely different.
So have you got a favourite type of client?
all clients are favourite.
That would be my answer. Very good. So, do you want to say any more about, you've got here, Life Matters. Is that to do with, sorry, I'm waving my arms again, it's gone dark again. What's the mental health ambassador thing that you're working on? I've got here, the Life Matters is offering a free mental health ambassador training. Is that something you shared with someone else?
That was, yeah, that was a post that I shared out for one of my colleagues.
Oh, right.
Involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you get...
It's not a personal thing.
But what you're doing with the other things that you're working on is quite, you know, the appointee services and also disability advice and wellness. That's all helping vulnerable people.
Well, I didn't choose numbers. Numbers chose me. So at a very early age, I had a severe stammer. And at the age of 13, my teacher told me to go away and be an accountant and hide in a room and not talk to anybody.
Oh.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to work in social care. But I didn't. I went off and, you know, went away and worked in an office and hid away. But I managed to find a way to work with both social care and numbers. And today we support around 1,200 vulnerable people in financial matters.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Goodness me. So, but what made you start it? Was there something that happened that made you start it?
Appointee services chose us, really. So because I had I'd done that role in a local authority, I left to start KPM Accounts. And in 2017, a social worker came to me and said, "We have this client. They don't trust the local authority. They won't engage with us. Can we refer them to you?" So that's kind of how it started.
Wow. Mm. It's amazing, isn't it, when people come to you? I mean, I've been in business for the short amount of time that we have. I've had a lot of people approach me about things, and it makes you feel great, doesn't it? Yeah. It's a bit of a boost.
Mm.
Definitely a bit of a boost. Okay. So is there anything you want to add about any of the services you offer, Sam?
For us, right across all the businesses, the customer is our centre point. Everything about what we do is to add value. It's not about how much it costs, what we charge. It's all about the value that we bring to people, and that is our core, right the way through everything that we do. I mean, in appointee services, we're working with over 40 local authorities right up and down the country now.
Mm.
Because there's not many services, you know, provide this out there.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
No, but all the way along, it's the customers at the heart.
And do you find there's an age spectrum with appointee services? Is it younger people, older people? Again, is that across the board? Because I should imagine a lot of older people really struggle with all these forms and that.
Well, for appointee services, it's the management of their finances. So under the court protection, if somebody goes into hospital, they don't have any, you know, family members that can help them. We would apply to the court protection. Maybe they've got a property that needs selling, you know, that sort of thing. They're our older generation. Maybe they have lost capacity for financial matters, you know, dementia, things like that. But for appointeeship, it is, you know, 18 and upwards.
Wow.
I'd say we have more clients under 70 than over.
And do you think that a lot of this, I've got to bring the schools in here, I mean, you know, we did, you know, maths and arithmetic and writing and that sort of thing when I was at school, but I don't know if they do that anymore.
And if they do, they don't do enough.
Because the children just don't seem to know, do they? I mean, you know, we say about our grandchildren, you know, we send them down the shop and that's the best way they're going to learn. Whereas you say send them to school because that's the best way they're going to learn. But the best way they're going to learn about money is go down, give them a fiver or £2 and say, right, there you go, you go in, you pay for it and you make sure you get the right change. And they soon get it.
I think they come out of school and not everybody's understanding interest or, you know, mortgages or how to open a bank account or what a direct debit even is. They're not being taught this enough.
Mm.
I think maybe the schools are touching on it, but it certainly isn't in depth.
No. Yeah, it's a bit... Have you got grandchildren? or children?
No.
No?
No.
So, yeah.
No, but I understand the kids need to learn sort of business studies, sort of how to manage your own finances and how the world works.
Definitely.
And how you engage with that.
It's funny, actually, because I did business studies. I did an ONC in accounts, and I remember I wanted to set up my own business when the Marks and Spencers, none of them did underwear, and I wanted to set up an underwear shop. So I went into a bank and I said to them, I want to set up my own business. I've done a business studies course, and I was 21. I felt I was old enough. And he gave me a sheet, which was obviously a cash flow forecast, and told me to fill it out.
Oh, to do a business plan, effectively, yeah.
I didn't know what to do with it. So yeah. I gave up then and there and went and got a job. Which was, you know, ridiculous, because if there'd been, if I'd had had, even when you think I'd stayed at college for 2 years, you know, and I'd, well, worked in the accounts department in the KCC, but I still didn't know how to fill that out.
But now you'd be able to put that into something like Claude or ChatGPT and it would do it all for you.
Do it all for me, yeah. Maybe I ought to do that even now then. Okay, right, we're going to go to a little song and then we go to some more adverts so that we can have a bit of a comfort break here.
Discover comfort, style and convenience at Arida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Arida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer website, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Got to turn the speakers up, so welcome back, everybody. Oh, classic rookie era. I haven't been doing this very long at all. So now I'd like to do some shout-outs, and we've got the lovely Faye Ailey. She's one of our new HR ladies, and she's asked for a shout-out. She said, I'd appreciate a shout-out, please. C3 People Advisory. Faye helps SMEs with all things HR, from day-to-day employee support and HR policies to managing workplace challenges, improving processes and building positive workplace cultures, providing clarity, compliance and culture for businesses across Kent and beyond. Keep up with great work. A C3 People Advisory. Free HR health checks. They do free HR health checks in July in line with new Employment Rights Act amendments. If interested, you can email Faye on hello@c3peopleadvisory.com, or you can go to her website, which is c3peopleadvisory.com. Nice and easy. So Sue Lee has said that she'd really appreciate a shout out. So Sue said, do you ever feel as though your mind just won't switch off, whether you're struggling with stress and anxiety, overwhelmed confidence, poor sleep or simply feeling stuck? Then please contact Sue Lee Hypnotherapy. She's absolutely brilliant. I've used her services before. I won't go into what she helped me out with because it's all a bit embarrassing, but it was really, really good and she did a great job. Then we've got Trina Kilshaw. So Trina is a new member with us and she's from Compass Office Support. So she can help you with diary management, email management, social media management, data entries, bookkeeping, all those sorts of things. So anything you're getting stuck with in the office, then Trina is there to be able to help you. Sheila Gwillen-Winter counter said, yes, please. So she's from Utility Warehouse, and she said gas prices have shot up in the last few days. Most people expect both gas and electric to go up again in October and January. But if things get better in the Middle East, they could drop. So that's a good bit of advice there from Sheila. And then Steph Nicholson of Books and Balance has asked for a shout out because she's doing Pints and Prosecco on Thursday. Both Sam and I are attending that event. Really relaxed, laid back event, really nice for businesses. You know, it's a no stress situation. Come in, have a drink, sit and have a chat with one person, or wander around and speak to lots of people. It's really, really great. So you can choose, you know, what you want to do there. And then we've also had Alison Whelan, Whelan off Bags of Pack Travel. Alison organised a cruise for me. She did a fantastic job, and she's basically can organise any of your travel arrangements. So just contact Bags of Pack Travel if you're looking for anyone to help you with your travel arrangements and everything there. I think my phone's going a bit funny, or someone's phone is ringing at the moment. I hope it's not impacting on the listeners. So I just want to go through some posts that you did, actually, Sam. So you were saying in the break that you actually said about a bit of an overwhelm. You did a post, and that's the one that had the best really engagement from people. So tell us a bit about that post.
Yeah, so the post was about I was starting to resent my business because of the time that I was having to put in. It wasn't leaving me any time for me or for my family or for being in my home. I visited the office and everyone goes home at, you know, 4 o'clock, and rightly so, because that's when they're paid to. But I'm there till 7, 8 o'clock, you know, keep working away. And yeah, that's just how I was feeling. And a few people reached out to me and said, you know, thank you so much for that post, because that's how I'm feeling, and it's nice to know that I'm not alone.
It's difficult, I think, getting a balance in life when you run your own business. I mean, it's a bit different, I suppose, for you, Adrian, because you're working with Nikki, and you've got your set hours.
Working 2.5 days a week means that with client hours, depending on whether it's a 4 week or a five week month, because it's all on month. So some months there's more than less, but then I've seen some social media around that as well to help try and promote the business, and obviously there's networking too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you come along to us, and that's evening networking.
Yeah, I've tried a couple of others as well. I've been to Simply Business, been down to see Terry Botfield on the Romney Marsh.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, it's good. You meet a different bunch of people and perhaps find something that you didn't know was there. Mm. So just putting myself out there, really, something that I'd have never done working in the corporate world, really.
No, and how do you find networking coming? Because we have had a few people come from the corporate world, and what they've said, it's been really good for them as a sort of skill set. You know, it's helped them to feel more confident at work. Because coming networking, some people think they go networking just to get more business. It's about so much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I've added loads of contacts. Met loads of nice people that I consider friends, and even on this week at Synergy, like, probably know to wave at 2/3 of the people in the room.
Nice.
and then speak to half of them.
Yes,
is enough, because you know they're there. And as when I'm getting my coaching on how to be better at myself, it's looking through, you know, past the room, through the person, and listening to what they have to say, and trying to think about how you can help their business, or how someone you know could use their services. It's not just about selling to that person that you're talking to.
No, absolutely it's not. So how did you resolve your problem, Sam?
I think for me, I love working, so it isn't a fact that I'm at working. I think it was a fact that I felt I had no choice. So once you start to move things around, make plans, you then feel you have more of a choice. So, I love working, so I'm always going to be working hard. But I also then started to take up paddle, which any person that plays paddle knows it becomes addictive. So it actually took me away from work quite a bit. So
Well, I'm actually doing my PT training with Nathan in a paddle court now. Well, they've got a gym there, but it's all paddle going on all around there. And I've got to say, as a single woman, it's a fantastic place to be because there's some amazing eye candy there, I should tell you. Ladies, get yourself to a paddle court. If you're single, really great. Start learning paddle. but I'm in a lot of... a lot of self-employed people have this issue with balance. And the thing is, it isn't because they feel like they don't want to do it. I love working. But I find that I can easily work on, if my sisters weren't saying to me, Lynn, do you want to come out? Or my children weren't saying, do you want to come out? Do you want to do this? Then I would tend to be working a lot of the time because I enjoy what I'm doing. And I've got lots to do because I'm a new business. So I'm still trying to write policies and procedures, and there's still so much to do. We've got new events coming up. So we're working with Thackeray Williams. We're planning to do an event with them, which would be quite nice. That's going to be an 8:30 a.m. event. So it's going to be in their Bromley offices. And we're planning, it's going to be free for members. And what we're doing is we're offering our pro members the opportunity to speak. Now, that's going to be a fantastic opportunity for our pro members to be able to do a talk in a solicitor's office, because I'm assuming they're quite a good referrer for you, are they, Sam?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, so they would be, it's a great opportunity for people to do a 10-minute presentation, because there's going to be a lot of representatives of Thackeray Williams there. So especially for the advisory services, I think they would love to have someone on their books who does that, I should imagine.
Yes, I'm absolutely sure.
For solicitors.
All, wherever we go, everyone is a great referrer. For all the services that we've got, we've picked up some amazing customers in the most unusual opportunities. So, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you are, always look for that opportunity.
Well, I think networking is an opportunity. Networking is lots of opportunities because it's not just the people in the room. You two probably know that I ran a dating agency for 20 years. And I remember going in with a friend, very tall, good-looking man. And he looked at the room and he went, there's no one in here I fancy. And I said, stop being so shallow. Just get in there and talk to some people. And he ended up dating a lady in the room for 3 years. So there was someone in the room. And that's the way you've got to think of it, because even if there are only 20 people, it's the same 20 people every time that you're seeing, you don't know who they met last week. And that's the beauty of this. It's not that it's the same 20 people, it's who they all meet, and we all meet new people all the time. You're both going to different networking groups. Terry's, Romney Marsh one. I haven't been for a long time, but, I hear really good reports about that. Yeah. Is that a stand-up and do... I can't remember. Is it stand-up and do 60-second one?
Yeah, you get a couple of minutes to chat. Depends on how many people are attending.
Yeah.
But he was in a pub in Romney Marsh, but he's now at Lyd.
Right.
At the golf club.
Okay.
I think the pub changed hands, but the golf club is a... It's in the conservatory, so there's lots of room.
And isn't he in Folkestone as well?
He does one in Folkestone in the what used to be the Clifton Hotel, I think. Or
yeah, I know he's recently started that one, hasn't he?
It was on the business park, I think, but yeah, it's moved to the hotel.
Yeah. So how far would you travel, Sam, for networking?
I don't have a particular area in mind.
No.
It depends on the group.
Yes.
And the people going. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's about the people who are there, and it's about strengthening those relationships, isn't it, really? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm gonna read out a few events now. So, since she's actually had a really, really busy year, so we're doing the radio show. We've got... next week we've got Whitstable, and that's the 10:30 a.m. meeting. We had a fantastic event in Canterbury yesterday, really, really good. And that's starting to grow now. It's becoming more like King's Hill. It's quite a lot of corporates that there. So, yeah, really, really good event, excellent event. We had health and safety person. We don't get many of them, do we? Lee Sad was there. Do you know Lee?
No.
So he was there. So it was really great to see some people that, funnily enough, I see quite a lot of Simply Business, but I don't really see them apart from that. And then you've got Rookie CEO, of course. Are you going to that on Monday?
No, not Monday.
So Monday is Rookie CEO. So Rookie CEO is, again, a different type of networking. And Rookie CEO welcome, well, it's what it says on the tin, I suppose. It's all about new startup businesses. Have you ever been, Adrian?
I haven't, no.
But the thing is that established businesses do go because, you know, they want to see the people that they've met through networking. So, and a lot of people go because they give people an opportunity to talk about, well, to educate, not talk about their business, to educate people on a certain thing. So one might be mindset and the other one will be, you know, to do with business in some way or another. So I've done I only got 5 minutes, actually. They didn't give me 10 minutes.
Oh, I got 10 minutes.
Poor me. I don't know why they only gave me 5 minutes. But, yeah, I was allowed to do 5 minutes. So I've never done a proper presentation. Well, it was a proper presentation, but you know what I mean. So, and then the other thing that we're doing is on the first Wednesday of each month, we work with Metro Bank. So I know Metro Bank, Hazel Hall, she did one in Maidstone yesterday, but we work with Metro Bank in Ashford and in Canterbury, and August is going to be our Ashford event. Have either of you been to Metro Bank events?
No.
No.
Again, very laid back, very easy. Metro Bank invite a lot of accountants, because obviously a lot of their customers are accountants. So an awful lot of accountants in the room. So that's really great. And we also are doing a new event, which is a trade event. So our trade event is on the first Friday of every month. And that has been amazing. We're working with Adam Mortimer of Trading Standards. And we are now Trading Standards approved. I feel quite proud of that.
Congratulations.
Yes. So we're less than 2 years old. We are Trading Standards approved. We've had all the checkups made. I think they checked me out, actually. So that's interesting.
I'm coming to that one.
Sorry?
I'm coming to that one.
Oh, are you? Yeah, they are really, really good events. Another event I'd like to tell you about is our online events. So our online events are really to educate people. So what we do, the first half an hour is what we do is we go through, if somebody's put a post up, we do try and encourage our members to put a post up. We go through their post and we analyze their post and let them know what's, you know, what we like about it. Maybe what we don't like about it, but it's mainly, I think, would be quite complimentary. And then the next half an hour would be training on something or another. So did we do Google last time? What did we do, Adrian? I did a training.
NetHub
training.
First one, yeah.
Okay, so I think we're going to do it on Google this time. So, I know, we asked AI what score we got, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
So what we did was we went in, we asked AI to give us a score for our social media, and what was really amusing, because I'm across every platform, and I'm actually, it's made me not do so much now, because I got exactly the same score.
We got the same score, didn't we?
We all got the same score. And one lady isn't posting at all. But AI gave us all the same score, but it gave us all different explanations, didn't it, as to why it gave us that score. So I think AI is trying to be very kind to all of us. But I was a little bit disappointed that everyone got the same score as me, to be honest. So that was pretty interesting anyway. And then, I mean, tonight I'm in Sidcup, and we have said to people if they want to come along, they're welcome to come along, and it's going to be a free of charge one in Sidcup this evening. So if you want to come to a Synergy event in Sidcup, that's free of charge. And then I also want to mention events that we're doing with the AREDA. So we've got two events that you can treat your staff to. So one is at the Holiday Inn in Sevenoaks, Maidstone, and that's on the 10th of September, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's going to be a welcome drink, nibbles, and a bit of a party, a bit of show around the hotel. But it's a fantastic opportunity to treat customers, you know, or staff or whatever. A really fantastic opportunity. They're doing another one on the 25th at the AREDA in Maidstone. So again, again, another fantastic opportunity for people to bring along customers, staff, and let them see the hotel and see, you know, the fantastic facilities they have and all the other things that they offer. And then there's actually Dartford Living. Have you ever been to that? Either of you?
Is that next week?
Dartford Living, I think it is. I can't go next week because I've got my granddaughter, but I've got one down in September, but they do them every other month, don't they?
Not sure.
It's pretty massive. So you can go on to Dartford Borough Council, I think, and get the details. But it's a chap who does a magazine in Dartford, and they're really, you know, hundreds of people. I mean, hundreds. Well, 100 people. And massive events. So, you know, they're quite loud and, you know, they're great because you see lots of people you know, lots of people you don't know. Lots of shop retail people, I've noticed as well. And then we are doing our summit on in September, and that's on the 30th of September. So we're charging £5 to visitors because we have 40 no shows last time. So we're charging £5 to visitors. All visitors said they were coming and didn't come. So sorry, but you've ruined it for everyone else because we can't give it to them free now. So that will be £5. And it's free for members, of course. So quite a lot of free events for members and speaking opportunities for members as well, which is really great. So I'm going to ask you what your favourite networking event now is, Sam. Have you got a favourite?
All of them.
So tell me about the difference and how you find that, because there's so many different ones. You get an event with 100 people and sometimes you can get just as much value from an event with 7 people. Why do you think that is?
I think it depends on the type of event. So if you're going to an event where there's 7 people, 7 people are going to know you very well. So you've got that whole know, like and trust. That's where most referrals will come from. However, if you're going to a really big event, that's when you get introductions to new people so that you can book one-to-ones in and really get to know them better. So that's not always about referrals. That's about contacts for you as well.
Mm.
So they both work.
Funny enough, Adrian, you've just started doing more one-to-ones, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to engage with new people that perhaps I have just seen as new members. And maybe haven't even met in the room that night. And I've actually got a one-to-one tomorrow with someone who was on Monday night. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Learn more about each other's business, see if we can help each other or know someone else we can help beyond the actual relationship. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it is. And one-to-ones are really important, aren't they, Sam?
Very important. That's when you get to find out about people.
Mm.
Networking's really good. It's, you know, generally quite a relax, but you don't always find out that person, their values, their needs, their wants, business. So, yeah, very valuable.
And I think at a one-to-one as well, it's when it sparks something that's like, oh, I know someone who can help you with that. That's when that moment happens.
Yeah, you have more time to get in depth about stuff that maybe you hadn't at the networking session.
Mm.
As you say, a referral point could be, oh, well, have you tried this person because they're looking for a virtual PA or they need this done or that done. And I've used the people in the networking for my own personal stuff in and around the house.
Mm.
So that it works at a number of levels, really. You know, people will help you out. It's a bit like knowing the plumber, referring your local plumber or your local electrician. You know, it's one on from that, really. It's the same sort of principle that it's someone you trust and you're prepared to give their name to someone else.
The thing is, as well, is especially when it's the same people in the room, you're seeing them all the time, aren't you? And there's a bit more incentive to make sure they do a good job. Because if you're bad at what you do, why would you go and see people every week? It would be a bit of a bad thing to do, wouldn't it? You know, oh, you did a rubbish job. Oh, don't worry, I'll see you next week.
Exactly. We had a few months ago in Synergy, the Maidstone one, all six of us, we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
We knew each other pretty much inside out. So we didn't have a pitch. We didn't have a... We didn't do any of the questions. We just sat there and someone brought up about emojis and we had a laugh for the sort of 20 minutes talking about, you know, this is middle-aged people talking about emojis, trying to understand the difference between them. And we had such a laugh, but you came away from it and thought, well, I learned quite a lot about people there.
Yeah, because you learn about their sense of
humour.
And
you just all relax.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a completely different aspect.
Yeah. One of the questions actually was about emojis, so they might have got it from that.
We was at a Medway Synergy, and same situation, all of us, you know, around the table knew each other. So Aaron from WYSIWYG, he gave us like a little talk on AI and automation. It was fantastic. I learned so much that night. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, really good when you meet people that you know, and the support is just absolutely unbelievable. Okay, we're going to go to another song and a couple of adverts now, listeners. So we're getting into our last half an hour. So please don't leave us because there's lots more going to be on the show. We are listening to Sam Spillett of KPM Accounts and also Adrian Kingsley Johnson of Confident Cashflow. So we'll be back soon. So stay listening.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
At Absolute Protection Group, we specialise in domestic, commercial and industrial electrical, fire and security systems, ensuring the highest quality of service and safety for all your needs. We provide everything from design installations to repairs for homes and businesses alike. We have a 24-hour call-out service to get you up and running as soon as possible. Whether you need a simple lighting upgrade, a complete rewire, or emergency electrical services, every project meets industry standards. Let us be your trusted partner in creating safe and reliable electrical systems tailored to your specific requirements. Contact us today for a consultation, as if you want protection, you want absolute protection. Go to absolute-group.co.uk or call 01622 437838.
So let's talk about, Sam, what plans you've got for the future for your clients. How are you going to add value, do you think?
Well, for appointee services, we're looking at just growing bigger and better, so getting more, putting more efficiencies in, so more automation, more AI, you know, to really help onboard new staff. For KPM Accounts, we're looking to add value by we're creating a community of clients. So in 2007 I'm going to launch a network of our clients. So once a quarter we'll bring everybody together and pay for them to have some, you know, some nibbles and some drink, you know, and just get some business flowing in the room.
No, and where are you thinking about doing that?
Not a clue yet. I wrote what's going to happen, not where it's going to happen.
Okay, well, ask me because I can probably help you with venues.
Brilliant, thank you.
Venues is my thing. So the area would be presumably Maidstone Medway, would it?
Yes.
Okay. And what about you, Adrian? You wanted to talk about software, didn't you? We were just having a discussion about software.
On Monday, I've just put it out to one of our tables that had anyone been to the Xero conference, and we had a bit of a Xero loving on the table. Steph was sort of leading it as she'd been to the conference, and yeah, it's quite a topic really, because different businesses, different size businesses, make different choices on software, and most of my customers are on Xero and are quite engaged well with Xero. I think it works well. Or credit control, but obviously different people coming in, whether it's bank rec, invoicing, would have different opinions on that. We have some customers who are on QuickBooks, and then we have one that's on Sage that's looking to come off of Sage. But yeah, it's quite interesting to see the different ideas, and obviously different platforms have been built at different times and how they've updated themselves.
I mean, soon you're going to have, because, I mean, if you look at Go High Level is social media, you know, data entry, you know, it's your database, it's so many things, it's like email management, it's, you know, events, and you think to yourself, well, it's not going to be long and they're going to be offering that you can do payments through it. At the moment, you know, it'll all go through Switch or something like that, but, you know, you're thinking, well, it will go through. Soon everyone's going to offer everything, but the thing is, you know, as a user, you've got to go and you've got to learn it. So I'm with Sam. I prefer QuickBooks. But I went with Xero because Xero seems to be the modern one. But I remember working with an accountant in Click, and they sent me my end of year, and my end of year said that I had, I think it was quite a lot of money. It was like £16,000 in my bank. And I went, well, no, 60,000. It was 60,000. And I said, I'm sorry, but how on earth did you come to that figure? Because I've never had 60,000 in my account. And that would be absolutely amazing. But I just didn't know how they came to that figure. It dumbfounded me and it worried me, because then I thought, you know, how have they come to it? And they were using that. So, I mean, they've all got places. Well, it's the same as anything. It's what you put in, you get out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I had one of their people come over and do the accounts every week. So that's why I was so distressed about it, because I took it off of QuickBooks, which I was doing myself, and had someone come in and do it. So I had time once a week, and I ended up with 60,000. I mean, if I'd had the 60,000 in the bank,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind it. So, yeah, so it is all down. Software is great, but it's what we put in, isn't it? Which can be...
And it's changing all the time. So you find a lot of people were on this software, then all of a sudden they're on this software, and they're changing too much.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, even for social media, I noticed that we've got someone doing our social media. Lucy is doing it, Lucy Jesse of Crescent Digital. And, you know, she has to send me, so I have to go on a thing called Metricole and approve it. And they're now trying to get me to go on and do AI. So everyone's trying to get you to do AI training for different things. And I know a lot of people are using AI now to do all their graphics, to do all their, words, everything, can't they? Do you use AI?
I don't. Not only in a very limited way, but what I have found is that quite a number of clients that I'm contacting have an AI answer, either because it's like a call shield thing where you have to say who you are and then they tell you whether they want to speak to you or not in the basic format. But some of the business ones, actually, you give your name and your business and they come back, and it's like talking to a very, very sophisticated robot.
It's
convincing.
Yes, I actually had one ring me, and I thought it was a person to start off with, and then I was like, I asked a question to what I thought was a person, and it came back with such a smooth answer. I thought, this is really a really smooth guy, or it's AI. I realised, and I just went, no, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested. But the thing is with AI, it doesn't go away, does it? It keeps trying. Are you using it for anything, Sam?
Yeah, a lot. I am a big fan of AI.
You embraced it, have you?
I've embraced it, yes. So just like, for example, the businesses have a lot of processes that we've wrote, and they were all wrote by me talking into my phone, into ChatGPT, and it would record it, and then, it, you know, it would put it in a really good flow. Although it was my words, it wasn't changing it. It was enhancing it. So, lots and lots of AI.
I found that it enhances what I say, actually, because I'll come up with an idea and I'll say, well, for example, I might say, I want to talk about trust, and it will give me six different points about trust. And, you know, I think I was reading, I can't remember who the author was, a book about trust, and he was actually saying in the book that a young man was selling coffee at the front of a big, sort of industrial estate. He was selling coffee, but he was having problems because the queue was so long all the time, and people were just saying, oh, you know, I can't bother to wait, and they were just going in, making their own coffee, although his was really nice coffee. So what he did was he had a trust bowl. So he just left the bowl there for people to put the money in and take out the correct change. And that meant the queue went down so much faster. And he ended up taking more money than he ever dreamed that he would, because he wasn't having to worry about taking all the money all the time. But that is taking that first step of trust, isn't it? And once you've taken it, generally, most people go, you know, you're only going to get the odd one or two that don't sort of play ball. But generally, I think most people play ball and, you know, play the game, don't they? So Yeah, I did quite a few things about trust, but it gave me lots of other ideas, which is really good for social, from a social media perspective. I wish we'd had it actually when we were running the business, because you know, when you're doing social media for so many different types of businesses, that you know, it's coming up with the ideas for, I don't know, a brewery or a, you know, an accountant or a solicitor. You're coming up with all these different ideas. You're taking it off their website, but it's, you've got to look more in depth into it. And some of the time we spent just coming up with the ideas and putting the post together, but AI's turned a whole, you know, just in the last few years, hasn't it, really?
I have. So all of my goals are in my AI. They know what I want to achieve. So if I have an idea, I'll put it in and say, you know, is this aligning with my goal, or is this a really silly idea? And it just helps to have some, you know, something else challenging your thoughts.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, and it's good to have someone challenge your thoughts. I mean, Chris, my business partner, he quite often challenged my thoughts. That's when, so long as I tell him before and not after I've done it. Bless him. So let me just, I'm speaking to Sam Spillett of KPM Accounts, and I'm also speaking to Adrian Kingsley Johnson of Confident Cashflow. So let me ask you, Sam, if somebody wants to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through LinkedIn, through Facebook, or my contact details are sam@kpmaccounts.co.uk. Reach out on the website.
So if you've got a website, as each of the three businesses that you're working in, has each of them got their own website?
Yes, and they've each got their own profile page on LinkedIn.
Right, okay, so that's really good. And I mean, I think everyone would be definitely interested in, because everyone must have someone who would probably need help from the Disability Advice Welfare Network. I think that's, I'm trying to think, well, it's Dawn, isn't it?
Dawn,
I'm trying to think what it was. Doesn't come to you straight away. But it's a great name, because I think that, you know, it's the dawn of time, isn't it? And I think that people need that help. And appointee services, again, is something that everyone needs. And I think there's so many people that you're a member of Synergy as KPM Accounts Limited, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, would you like us to do a profile for the others?
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Because I know that the website, but we've got Matt White doing the SEO for our members on the website as well. He's not just doing it for us, he does it for the members. And I think that would be really good to have those two services on for our other members, don't you?
Yeah,
I think it'd be
definitely.
I think it really, you know, that's added value, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Thank
so
you.
I think that would have value for us. And how can they get hold of you, Adrian, please?
Certainly go through the website, www.confidentcashflow.com,
mm-hmm.
Where Nikki Kinton will pick up any messages. There's discovery calls that you can book, advice on how we can look at your terms and conditions and help structure your credit control and your improve your cash flow. Or you can find me on LinkedIn.
And in regards to people who can refer to you, you said about accountants, but you also said about health and safety advisors. Why do you feel they would be a good person to be able to...
business coaches more than anything, because they would see, be close to businesses.
Oh.
Just because of their connections, really.
Mm.
But everyone is a referral point. How the business has currently grown is because Nikki's been involved with BNI and other associated networking in the Swindon area, but she also subs in, goes to meetings in Reading and out through to Bath and Bristol. So by meeting different people and, say, going beyond the room, if you like,
mm-hmm.
When people say, oh, I've got an aged debt problem, then, you know, you need to speak to Nikki. You know, that's how I'd like to grow, so that
people are saying,
in Kent, people are saying, this is your go-to person to have a chat with, you know.
Mm.
Absolutely no commitment, but, you know, the first port of call is getting that person to engage, and so we can have a chat about it.
Well, have you done an interview with Hayley yet?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, so, I mean, one of the ways we add value to members, because, you know, obviously, you mentioned BNI there, they're all about, you know, giving referrals and getting referrals and all of that. And that's not what we're about. We're about raising our members' profiles as much as we can, and, you know, helping them in any way that we can. And the newsletter that's being done by Hayley on LinkedIn is part of that. So it's talking about the wins. For example, one of you could go on and talk about the radio show if you wanted to, or talk about the other services that you offer. And those sort of things, if they're going out on LinkedIn newsletter, it's massive exposure. Because, you know, what we do is we share that, that obviously LinkedIn newsletter. I share it onto mine. It's gone to the Synergy page. And then most of the people who are mentioned in there will share it onto theirs. So the audience it goes to is huge. So that's one of the ones that we do. The other thing that we do is we, particularly with our pro members, we say that they can have speaker opportunities. So, for example, you could come along, Sam, and you could speak at Metro Bank. So you could speak at Metro Bank Canterbury or Metro Bank Ashford. So let us know if you want to come, because I think it would be great if you spoke to them, for example, about appointee services. I think that would be a really great thing to talk about in a bank.
Yes. Their older clientele that maybe are seeing people, you know, becoming confused with their finances.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that would be a really good thing to talk about. And then potentially you could come in and talk about Dawn, because, again, that's another thing that would be a useful topic for everybody. We do opportunities for, we've got patrons that we also give speaking opportunities to, and they get the opportunity to speak free, but also for a patron they get to come and speak at the summits. That's all included in the price of being a patron. So we've got two slots left for the speaking opportunities at the 30th of September, the next event we've got there, and we'll have 108 people there, and each speaker there gets a 15 to 20 minute piece on what they can talk about. So that's really, really good as well. So yeah, we're all about, I think our way of helping our members is to bring them together in as many ways as we can. And another thing we've started doing, actually, and this was the suggestion of Ryan Briggs, is to, when we do a post on LinkedIn, to mention all the people who were at the event.
Yes.
And by doing that, that then allows everyone who's at the event to connect to the people who are at the event. But it also allows our members. So say you went into the Maidstone post, Sam, and although you weren't there, you could connect to the people in there who are, you know, were at the Synergy event, which, you know, and LinkedIn is a powerful tool, isn't it?
Very.
So is it the one that you would say you use most?
I do, yes. Yeah. For our business.
Yeah, don't use Facebook.
No. Well, I mean, I do all of them. And funnily enough, Trina, the new VA that we've got, she found me by my TikTok posts. So that's, I think, 5 members I've got through TikTok now. Which,
brilliant.
I know, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. So when I first said I was going to go on there, are either of you on TikTok?
No.
Personally, but not for the business, no.
No. So I do get stuck on there. Do you get stuck scrolling?
I try not to, but yes, I think everybody does.
Mine's Michael McIntyre. When I see him, I'm rolling around laughing and think, oh, I've got to watch another one.
Mine's paddle videos.
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay. I'll have to start maybe watching some of those. So is it like squash?
Kind of. Yes, it's kind of between squash and tennis, but it's a lot easier to learn to pick up quickly.
Because I used to play squash as a youngster, and then I played tennis, I would say, you know, well, probably about 15 years ago now, I was playing tennis on a regular basis, but I haven't played either of them.
You'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine to pick it up.
Yeah, I think I probably would. I mean, at least I can hit the ball.
Yeah, 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 I couldn't when we started.
So, I mean, the thing is, we were saying about, you know, hiring a court and that and doing it as a networking event, but if you look at how expensive golf is, it can't be more expensive than golf. I should imagine it's on a par, excuse the pun, on a par with golf. Would you say, cost-wise? Or is it, it's surely it's better value than...
I think it is better value.
And the other thing as well is, how long is a game?
Well, it depends on the players, but...
people generally are hiring courts for either 60 minutes or 90 minutes.
Okay, so you have to go in, hire the court, and presumably if you have to rent the stuff, or do you buy your own stuff?
Most people that play paddle will have their own stuff, but you could do it so that people move round to different players every, you know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, so that, you know, they get to play with different people, so they're talking and networking with different people all the time.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? Would you give it a go, Adrian?
Yeah, I'll give it a go, yeah.
Well, did you see that we're now on the second Tuesday of every month, we're doing a PT session for members at a paddle, at Forever Paddle in Maidstone.
Nice.
So we've got one of the courts there, and we're doing an hour session with Nathan Hinckley, who's a member. So he's a member at Maidstone Kings Hill, and he's doing an hour session with everybody. So he's going to bring all the weights in, and then he's going to talk us all through. So we're hoping we're going to get a minimum of 10 people there.
That's really good.
Yeah, and it's just something a bit different.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, I can't do paddle because I can't play paddle, but maybe we'd get more people doing paddle. Yeah. Which one do you belong to?
One is City Ball.
All right, okay. Because there's a new one in Gillingham, because Steve Baker said that he's going to start doing paddle networking in Gillingham.
Is there? I know there's an outside court in Gillingham. I didn't know there was an inside one. Maybe it's a new one. Well, there's one in Maidstone going up near Alsford, an indoor one.
Yeah, that's going to be ready, I think, in about 6 months, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, the one Forever Paddle, that's he got 400 members apparently in the first month.
Wow.
So it shows how popular it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, I wish I got 400 members in my first month. Mind you, I suppose I haven't got to worry about all that equipment and everything you have to put in there, don't you?
Yeah, just cleaning that glass, could you imagine it?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah, because I should imagine people's hands must be like having my granddaughter around every day.
Is it like a squash court then, effectively? Or more like a tennis court?
It's a glass box, basically.
Right.
It's not glass, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Is there anything else you want to bring up that you'd like the listeners to know about?
I'd just like to reach out and thank my two teams. They are awesome. So, and the advisors, within, Dawn. I couldn't grow the business without them, so a big shout out to them.
Great. Okay. So how long has your longest member of staff been with you?
That is Kelly. She's the office manager of Copium Accounts, and 2014.
Wow.
12 years.
And how long's the business been going?
2012.
Okay, so quite some time then.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. And anyone you want
to... yeah, I'm grateful to Nikki Kinton for giving me the opportunity to explore my passion for credit control and helping small businesses over the last couple of years. And for my other employer, for being tolerant to down my hours with them, but still doing a reasonable job on credit control in the corporate world.
Oh, well, that's really brilliant. Well, well done. Thank you both for being guests on the Synergy
Thank
Radio
you.
Show.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And, yeah, we look forward to listening to Jill next week. I don't know who she's got on as her guests, and I will, of course, be back the following week. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. There will be a few adverts, and we're actually going to play out with Happy from Pharrell Williams, and that is all down to the lovely Jill Russell, because she wanted us to finish on a happy song every time. So thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Anyone who wants to come to Sid Cup, we look forward to welcoming you. They do amazing pizza and chips there, if you fancy some of that. All right, take care. See you soon. Bye.
Channel Radio. Great music and talk.
Raise your hand if your business needs to reach a wider audience. Well, we've got exciting news for you. One-to-one ads are committed to helping local businesses like yours grow and thrive. With our extensive reach and high volume of digital engagement, we offer an incredible opportunity to promote your products and services to thousands of potential customers by creating compelling radio advertisements that capture the essence of your brand, engage listeners, and inspire action. One-to-one ads offer a bespoke advertising package for a fraction of the cost others have quoted you. Whether you're a small startup or an established established enterprise. Let us get you results. Join our growing list of satisfied advertisers now. Call 01217 282 286 or email info@1to1ads.me.
Oh, got to reply to that quote. Did they email? No, not there. Ah, WhatsApp. No. Instagram DMs? Who's Shanice 554? Oh, it's definitely not that. Maybe they called? They did want a quote, though, I think. Oh, fuzzy logic. Every customer conversation. One inbox, one place. Finally, start for free at fuzzylogic.systems.
Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show, featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events.